Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Dalid. Purim, Freilichim Purim to everybody. Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Dalid. I don't think we have any Purim connections in today's daf, as hard as we try. But the topics that we're going to discuss today are, first of all, whether liquid that comes from berries and pomegranates, which is how we ended yesterday's discussion, that were not put away specifically for juicing. If you have berries and pomegranates that were not designated for juicing, nor were they designated for eating, so they were put away stam, is that usher to use on Shabbos? Then the Gemara is going to find a source for the idea that even the Rabbanan agree that juices that ooze from fruits that aren't normally juiced are mutter, and that's going to lead to a discussion of whether pomegranates are considered a fruit that's normally juiced, or they're not considered a fruit that's normally juiced. The Braisa talks about an individual person, Menashe Bar Menachem, who used to juice pomegranates, and the Gemara is going to offer two suggestions of what we learn from the behavior of a single person, particularly of this single person, Menashe Bar Menachem. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss mikvahs. And a mikvah has to be made of water, as we know. If other liquids fall into the mikvah in great enough quantity to change its color, it could passel the mikvah. And the Gemara is going to bring two opinions, whether any liquid that cannot be used to make a mikvah automatically passels a mikvah, or liquids that are considered a mashke, a significant mashke, a beverage, are able to invalidate a mikvah, but not just anything that is not normally used to make a mikvah. So those are the basic topics of today's daf. Yesterday we began the 22nd perek, and we had a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about juice that oozes from peros. So the Rabbanan held that you're not allowed to be soched peros, certainly, but they said v'im yatsu me'atzma nasurin, that any juice that comes out of fruits on their own are also aser. Rabbi Yehuda said not so fast, not necessarily any juice that comes out of fruits is going to be aser. Rabbi Yehuda said it depends what kind of fruits they are. If they're fruits that were designated la'ochla, and you were like a melons that you put away to eat, that you would never juice, no one juices a honeydew or something that you would put away to eat, so then if the juice oozes out of that fruit, so then it's going to be mutter. But if it's a fruit that's normally used for juicing, then what comes out of it is going to be asur. That was the machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. So we saw a brisa in yesterday's daf where Rabbi Yehuda, not in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda only speaks about fruits that are designated for eating and fruits that are designated for juicing. But there is a third type of fruit. There's fruits that are designated for neither, that you just didn't think of designating them, that are made stam. So we saw in the brisa that lemashkin ulstam hayotze mehen osur div Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda held that both lemashkin and lestam, the juices that come out of them, are going to be osur. So even stam is considered to be that it's designated for juicing. So the first topic on the daf is going to be to determine what Rabbi Yehuda holds about fruit juices that come out of tutim v'rimonim, because yesterday we also discussed different categories of fruits. We had said that Moder Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chachamim that any juices that come out of zeisim va'anavim are automatically going to be asur, because zeisim va'anavim are always primarily meant to be juiced, to be squeezed for their juices. So the Rabbi Yehuda was molded to the Rabbanan by Zeisim Ve'anavim, and we also said in the Braisa that the Rabbanan were molded to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peros, by all other fruits. So there are three categories of fruits. There's Zeisim Ve'anavim, where Rabbi Yehuda was molded to the Rabbanan. There's Shar Peros, the Rabbanan molded to Rabbi Yehuda. And then we have this middle category of Tutim V'rimonim, of berries and pomegranates. Where berries and pomegranates, that's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Dafka in the case of berries and pomegranates. So that's where we have the machlokas. Do juices that come out of berries and pomegranates, are they automatically usher? May you use them? The Rabbanans say no. Rabbi Yehuda says if they're designated lamashkin, then no. But if they're designated la'ochlin, then yes. And Rabbi Yehuda added the extra chiddush, if berries and pomegranates, that middle category, were put away stam, hayotze mehen usher, that which comes out of them is usher. So now we're going to just focus on that stam issue. So we left off about 8 lines before the end of the page. Last one line is stam. V'savar Rav Yehuda stam aser? Does Rav Yehuda really hold that stam, whenever something has no specific designation, one way or the other, that we're going to go l'chumra and we're going to assume it's aser, just like he says over here by tutim v'rimonim, that are designated stam, that are not designated l'ochlin or l'mashkin, that we go l'chumra and we consider it to be like something that's designated l'mashkin? Does Rav Yehuda really hold that stam is going going to be Asr Vatanan, but we have a Mishnah in a completely different context about Tumah and Tahara, about Hechsher Lekabel Tumah. Chalav, generally speaking, is a little bit of background. Generally speaking, in order for any food to become Tameh, it needs to come in contact with one of the Zayin Mashkim, it needs to come in contact with one of the seven liquids that we remember by the mnemonic Yad Shach Adam, right? So Yayin Dvash, Shemen, Chalav, Tal, no, what's the Yad Shach Adam? So Mayim and Dam. Right? So then Dam. So Yad Shach Adam. So that's the those are the seven liquids. It has to come in contact with one of those seven liquids in order for it to become Tame. It has to come in contact with one of those seven liquids. It has to come in contact with it in a way that you're happy that it came in contact with the liquid. If somebody is not happy with the fact that the food came into contact with the liquid, then it's not something that he would want, then it's not makshir lekabel tuma. But one of the items on the list, one of the types of liquids that can be makshir lekabel tuma is chalav. So chalav we normally think of as chalav that comes from a cow. What about chalav isha? So says the Mishnah Vatnan, chalav isha mitame l'ratzon v'shalol l'ratzon. Chalav that comes from a woman is mitame both l'ratzon and shalol l'ratzon. Over here, when we say mitame, Rashi points out one word, machshir. We don't mean that it's mitame chalav. There's nothing tame about chalav isha. It's machshir l'kabel tuma, both l'ratzon v'shalol l'ratzon. Meaning whether the chalav came out of the woman l'ratzon or shalol l'ratzon, chalav is called a mashke. How do I know chalav is called a mashke? Says Rashi, shachalav kari mashke shenemar v'tif. So you see that it talks about chalav and it says vatashkehu. So that's how we know that chalav is called a mashke. Chalav behema inu metame l'ratzon. Chalav behema, however, is only metame when it comes out l'ratzon. If it doesn't come out l'ratzon, it's not called a mashke, and therefore it's not able to be makshir l'kabel tuma. Am Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, "Well, wait a second. Kal v'chomer hu umachal of heisha sheni miuchal l'ketanim metame l'ratzon shalol l'ratzon." Which one of these two types of milk is more of a mashke, is more of a drink that that people would drink? So chalav isha, people drink it, but only very little people drink chalav isha. Only babies drink chalav isha. Chalav behema, everybody drinks. So if you're going to consider chalav isha to be enough of a drink that it's mitame both l'ratzon and shalol l'ratzon, chalav behema shem yucha ben l'ketan ben l'gdolim enu din sheitame ben l'ratzon ben shalol l'ratzon. So chalav behema, which is drunk by everybody, by young and old alike, certainly should be enough of a mashke that it should be mitame both l'ratzon and shalol l'ratzon. So amrlo, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Akiva, im tamei chalav ha'isha shalol l'ratzon shedam agafasa tamei. You know why we're more machmir, the chalav isha is going to have the ability to be machshir whether it comes out l'ratzon or shalol l'ratzon? Because the isha in general is able to produce liquids that are machshir much more than the animal is, in the sense that dam agafasa, if a woman gets an injury, a human being gets an injury, what comes out? Blood. And the blood has the ability to be machshir, to be things to be machshir to be makabel tuma. So yitma chalav habehema shalol l'ratzon shedam agafas atar. Why should we automatically say that chalav behema has the same status as chalav isha? We know the other liquids that a behema produces, namely the blood that a behema produces, is not makshir l'kabel tuma. So just because chalav behema is enjoyed by more people does not make it more of a mashke than chalav isha. Adrabba, the rabbanan say, the fact that an isha produces dam that's also able to be makshir may make the chalav of an isha more capable of being makshir l'kabel tuma. What does the dam have to do with the chalav? Why would we say just because the dam of an isha is makshir l'kabel tuma, so mele the chalav is as well? Says Rashi, shedam agafasa tap Rashi shalisha im nagaf ragla o yada v'kol chabura shiyatsim men adam. If she has any sort of injury, she gets a cut on her hand, her foot, that dam comes out of k'dam perak dam anida dam chalalim dainu dam haru kari mashke. The dam chalalim, the dam of the circulatory system, is called a mashke. Shrem v'dam chalalim yishte v'dam magafaso mefarishasam de dam chalalim havi, and that's what dam magafaso means. The mali katle kule, mali katle palga, meaning dam chalalim is the blood that comes out when you kill somebody, when someone dies. If someone dies of someone bleeds to death, that's dam chalalim. But the Gemara has an expression, mali katle kule, mali katle palga. What difference does it make if you entirely kill somebody, you cut them to the point that they bleed out till they die, or you cut them just a little bit and they bleed a little bit? It's the same blood. So if the blood that a person person would die from bleeding is able to be makshal kabel tuma, then the blood that a person would stam bleed when he has an injury is also able to be makshal kabel tuma. But says Rashi, v'chalav kidam agafaso didam necher v'nasa chalav. Chalav has a din of dam magefa because we have a concept that dam necher v'nasa chalav, that blood turns into milk. And we know dam agafasa typically is shalol l'ratzon. No one wants to get a cut, and yet it's still tameh. So if dam that comes out shalol l'ratzon is tameh, chalav that comes out of a human body shalol l'ratzon will also be tameh because chalav is associated with dam. But it's a little bit taken out of context. Dam nechar v'nasa chalav. What kind of dam is that talking about? The dam nechar v'nasa chalav. The Gemara uses that to explain the phenomenon that we have that a woman who's nursing doesn't get her period, doesn't see dam nida. So the Gemara says, how come she doesn't see dam nida? How do we scientifically explain where the dam nida went? Just because she's nursing, she shouldn't see dam nida. So the Gemara has such an expression that dam nechar v'nasa chalav, that the blood somehow turns into the milk, so the blood can't come out in the form of her menstrual cycle because it's coming out in the form of milk when she's nursing the baby. That's the dam. It's not dam agafasa. It's not dam chalalim over there. It's not dam that would kill a woman. We're talking about the dam nida. That's nechar v'nasa chalav. So it's a chiddush to say that dam is going to be have anything to say that the dam chalalim is associated with chalav. The dam of the woman's nida cycle is associated with chalav, but that dam to be associated with chalav is a big chiddush that Rashi is teaching us over here. That it's because the dam chalalim in general is shalol ratzon. So the dam chalalim is also associated with chalav because chalav is associated with dam in general. So melu chalav isha that comes out shalol ratzon is also makshal lekabel tuma. It's that idea that the Magen Avraham quotes as the reason that we have milchigs and shvuas of dam nechar v'nasa chalav, that the idea is that the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos are like shivanikiyin for Klal Yisrael. It's like seven clean days of that a woman goes through before she goes to the mikvah. So it's like shivanikiyin for Klal Yisrael, and we dafka have milchigs and shvuas to show that not only are we tahor, we're so tahor we don't even have the ability to become tameh. Just like a nursing woman who's tahora doesn't have the ability to become tameh nida, so we're completely Tar by the time we're ready for the Ant of Shavuos. That's on the page of Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham quotes that reason. Ramah has different reason. Ramah says Shtei Alechem, but that's the reason that the Magen Avraham quotes on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch related to Dam Nechar V'nasa Chalav. So anyway, so that was the point that the Rabbanim were trying to make. Yes, Chalav Isha is going to be more chamer than Chalav Behema. It's even going to be Machshir Shalol Ratzon because Chalav Isha is associated with Dam, and Dam of an Isha is Machshir Shalol Ratzon. So how does Rabbi Kiva address that? So he says right back to them, Amr Lahan, Machmir ani b'chalav mi b'dam, shacholiv l'refua tameh, v'amak is l'refua tar. He says, chalav is different than dam. Chalav is actually more chamer than dam, in the sense that if a person is cholev l'refua, if a person has to milk in order to feel better, so that chalav is machshir l'kabel tuma. But someone who's mekiz l'refua, someone who lets blood as a refua, not as a dam chalalim, so that's not going to be makshir. Such dam is going to be tahar. Very interesting. It's the same dam. It's just a matter of how you take it out. In that case, when their mak is dam, they take it from the same places, the stomach that they would that dam would come out in general when it's dam chalalim. But you see that dam can come out in a way where it's a refua. Dam can come out in a way where it's a chavala, where it's considered to be a wound. So the Gemara is making it very clear that when you do it for akazas dam, that's not dam chalalim. That is not a wound type of dam, that's an entirely different type of dam. That's what Moshe writes, that it's not a violation of being chovel a person when a person gives blood, that you don't have to cheshbin, if I'm giving blood, am I violating the isra of chavala? He says, no, by definition it's not a wound, because by definition it has a shame refua to it. It doesn't have a shame wound to it. So anyway, Amru lo, so the Chacham said back to Rabbi Akiva, Salei zeisim v'anav miyochichu, will prove to you from baskets of olives and grapes, shamashkin ayotzmen leratzon tmein shelo leratzon tahorin, liquids that seep out of baskets full of olives and grapes If they come out l'ratzon, then they're makshir l'kabel tuma. If they come out shelo l'ratzon, then they're not makshir l'kabel tuma. So don't you see the chachamim say that you can't compare shelo l'ratzon to ratzon. I mean, you can't say that whatever happens shelo l'ratzon is the same as happens l'ratzon. You want to say that by chal avisha shelo l'ratzon l'ratzon are the same thing, and that it should both be able to be makshir. You see by sali zaysim va'anavim that shalol l'ratzon and l'ratzon have completely different halachos. So my love, so now the Gemara finally gets to its raya. My love l'ratzon denichale, shalol l'ratzon bistama. Don't we mean that l'ratzon is something that you want, and shalol l'ratzon means stam, that you don't care one way or the other? And what are we saying about Zeisim Vanavim? That when it's Shalol Ratzon, and we're again translating Shalol Ratzon as Stam, when you didn't designate the Zeisim Vanavim for Mashke, nor did you designate the Zeisim Vanavim for Ochel, if you designated them for nothing, yet we say that it's Velo Klum, that it does. That it's not a problem at all. So tutum v'rimonim delav b'nei schita ninu. So tutum v'rimonim, which are not b'nei schita to begin with, lo kol shkein, all the more so. It should be v'lo klum. It should not be considered something that's chashuv, and therefore should not be usher. So how can Rabbi Yehuda say stam is usher? Here we have in the Mishnah that it's taken for granted that both shalol l'ratzon, which we assume means stam, is not considered to be chashuv. So that's the kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Before we get to the answers, there are going to be two answers to the kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Just a quick ha'ara or two about this concept of hechsher l'kabel tumah that we just discussed. In general, hechsher l'kabel tumah, how does it work? Why does it work? Machlokas between the Ramban and Sefer HaChinuch. What the svara is in hechsher l'kabel tumah. Why does a food need to first come in contact with one of the seven liquids before it can become tameh? So one possibility is that it's the beginning of the tumah process, that when something is hukshal kabel tumah, that it's the beginning of the tumah process, that in order for tumah to stick, it needs first to have liquid hit the food, and that's like it's almost like half tameh, except it has no halachic significance really until it actually becomes tameh. Mashal ma davar domeh, it's like if you could imagine a physical dirt that would get on the food, something physically that would sully the food. So if it were wet, it would stick. The dirt would stick onto the food. So when the food becomes wet, first the tumah has the ability to stick, so to speak, onto the food. It makes the food ready to be mekabel tumah. It starts the tumah process. The other possibility is that it's not called a fruit, since fruits typically need to be washed before eaten, so it's not called a fruit. It's not nigmar shem pri until it's washed. Only when it comes into contact with one of the liquids is it nigmar shem pri. The shem pri is then, now it's really a fruit, now it's a meichel, and now it's ready to be hukshal lekabel tumah. So the obvious kash is, if you're going to say that it's din in nigmar shem pri, so then dam, why would dam be gomer the shem pri? So you have to say a low plug in all the mashkin. Yeah, but what about foods that no one ever washes? A piece of cake also. Nigmar shem, a piece of cake is a bad example because it did come in contact with water when the wheat came in contact. Okay, but there are lots of foods that people don't wash, that people typically would not wash off. Eggs. No one washes an egg before you eat the egg, and yet still it needs to become hukshal kabel tumah. Okay, those are kashas. You have to just say it's like a low plug. So l'may nafka mina, whether it's a din in being gomer the shame pre, or whether it's a din in the beginning of the tumah process. What the reason is that Hekshel HaKabal Tum works. So there are several machloks and rishonim about Hekshel HaKabal Tum. We mentioned before that you need kiyutan dumyu dechiyitein, that it needs to be something that the person is happy with. So there's machloks Ramam and Raivid. Which part do you have to be happy about? Do you have to be happy about the existence of the liquid, or the fact that the liquid came into contact with the food itself? Meaning, if, and maybe that's totally in this machlokas, maybe if the issue is that it's the beginning of the, it's the gemar pri, let's take the second side first, that is gomer the shem pri, so it's certainly not gomer the shem pri just because the liquid has come out of, the sky, it rained, so you were happy that it rained today, that's not gomer the shem pri, it's only gomer the shem pri if you were happy that it actually came in contact with the pri. But if it's a din, that's the beginning of a process that ultimately will be metameh, the priest. So then it could be the nichleis even at an earlier stage that you were happy that it came out. There's also a machlokas rishonim. Who has to be nichle? Is it the bailim of the pri, or is it the person who's washing the pri, the person who's making it come into contact with the pri? Is it a din in the bailim themselves, or a din in anybody being happy about it? That also may be tully in that machlokas. This is Rabbi Daniel Wolf from Yeshivat Haratzion has a nice piece on this where he gives five or six nafkaminas in this machlokas between the Ramban and the Sefer Achinuch. That if it's how would it work out? If it's a din in the bailim, that only the bailim would be that only the bailim's desire matters. So in terms of the gemar shem pri, so the bailim has the right to determine whether his pri is a pri or not a pri. But if it relates to the beginning of the tumah process, so you could be metame other people's things and still tumah. Tumah is a reality of halacha. So maybe that would apply whether it's the bailim or not the bailim. So again, it all may relate back to that issue. Another important issue over here is that Rashi had given a svara as to why it is not a svara, a source, as to why it is that chalav has the status of a mashke. So Rashi said, because the pasuk says in Sefer Shoftim, pasuk v'tivtach is noda chalav v'tashkeu. So you see that chalav is a mashke. But then Rashi on the top says that chalav, you know why we know chalav is a mashke? Because chalav is like dam magefa. That just like dam is one of the zayin mashkim is able to be makshel the kabel tumah. So since dam necher v'nasa chalav, whatever dam can do, chalav can do as well. So Tosus is a little bothered by why Rashi needs both sources. If you look at the bottom, the Gemara is going to explain the reason why chalav is makshel kabel tumah l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon, because it's like dam magefa. Chalav is and dam are one and the same. Dam nechav v'nasa chalav. Dam turns into chalav. We don't really need Rashi's explanation over here that vatiftach is a note. Meaning, anyway, we already know that it's not makshel kabel tumah. So why does Rashi have to say because it's called a mashke? L'chora, that's unnecessary. So Tosus himself gives the following answer. Tosus v'nir l'ri the hadisrich lefarish high time of perik dam nida gabe chalav isha hani mil Rabbi Yekiv. He says the whole need for any sort of source, Rashi didn't make up this source of a tiftach is not a chalav. So Rashi quotes this from a Gemara Nida. Yeah, but the whole need for that source is only if you hold like Rabbi Akiva over here that doesn't compare chalav to dam. If you don't compare chalav to dam, so then you need another source that chalav is going to be a mashke. So why would Rashi quote it in this context? He says that, yeah, the Gemara says it, but that's only if you're not like Rabbi Akiva, or if you don't hold dam nechav nasa chalav. If you don't hold that that's where the dam goes, there's another day in the Gemara of why a woman doesn't bleed, that avira and nisparkim, that after she gives birth, that her body just hasn't recuperated yet from the childbirth to go back to its normal functioning yet. So that's all. That's why she doesn't see dam when she's after giving birth. There's big nafkaminas between those 2 days. Why is it that a woman who's nursing doesn't see dam? Is it because Avraham is sparkim, or is it because dam nechav nasa chalav? Is a question of how long do we consider a woman to be yoled, to be meinekes? What's the din in meinekes? Is the din in meinekes that dam nechav nasa chalav is din meinekes that Avraham is sparkim, that she just hasn't fully recuperated? So is a woman in meinekes only so long as she's nursing, or even if she nurses, let's say, more than 2 years, or is a woman in meinekes for 2 years? Because that's what we assume, Avraham is sparkim, that it takes 2 years till she gets back to her normal self. That's a big machlokas. But anyway, so Tosus says the source that Rashi quotes is really unnecessary for our context. In our context, it would have been enough to say what Rashi says on the top of Amud Aleph of top of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that it relates to the fact that Chalav and Dam are associated with each other. But again, we left off with a question right now in the Gemara. And again, the question was, how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Sover Rabbi Yehuda Stam Aser? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold like the Brisa in yesterday's daf said that he holds that such juices would be Aser, that juices that come from Tutim V'Rimonim Stam that were not designated for anything are Aser? The Mishnah Machshirin talks about these Mashkin that are L'Ratzon V'Shalol L'Ratzon. We assume Shalol L'Ratzon means Stam, and apparently according to this Mishnah, when there's no specific desire for juices to come out, we assume the owner does not want them to come out. If that's the case, there should be no problem with using such liquids on Shabbos, because there's no reason to assume that the person will come to squeeze the juice from the fruits. That if stam is the same as shalol the ratzon, so then it should be the same as shalol the ratzon and hilcha Shabbos as well. And we should never, the juices that come out of it should not be aser, because the whole reason juices that come out on their own are ever aser is because we're afraid you might come to want to squeeze the juices out of the fruit. So the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, love. L'ratzon b'stama, shalol l'ratzon d'gali adai, t'damar lo nichali. We just mistranslated the terms. Lo l'ratzon doesn't, shalol l'ratzon, the Mishnah does not mean stama. Lo shalol l'ratzon means stama. When we say that a person wants it, it means that he doesn't not want it. It means that it's stam. When we say shalol l'ratzon, it means that he bidafka doesn't want it. So that's so then the whole kasha falls away. The term l'ratzon means stama. The term shalol l'ratzon means that the person has means it does not mean the person doesn't care. It means the person specifically doesn't want it to come out. Good, and that's why when we said shalol l'ratzon stam is going to be the same. That's why Rabbi Yehuda considers stam to be the same as l'ratzon, and therefore when you put away tutum v'rimonim stam and juice comes out of it, it is a legitimate chashash that you're going to come to squeeze it out, because that's the same as l'ratzon. V'i ba yisema, second answer, shayni salei zesim ha'navim, kiven deli ibud kaimi meikara, afkurei mafkiri lehu. That maybe the Mishnah Makshirin is limited to juices of grapes and olives that seep through the baskets. Where even if the person doesn't say that he's unhappy about it, it's obvious that he's unhappy with the liquid seeping out, because that's just going to be lost. It's li ibud kaimi, it's just going to go away, and he's not going to have anything to show for it. So in that case, we say that stam is shalol l'ratzon, because why would it be l'ratzon? Of course it's going to be shalol l'ratzon that the liquids come out. But typically, when you can use the juices that come out of fruits, that come out of tutum v'rimonim, so maybe you're going to be happy about those juices coming out. And maybe the taka is room to make a gzera to be concerned that a person will come to squeeze out the fruits themselves. So now, parenthetically, the Gemara goes back to discuss something else we mentioned in the Braisa. We mentioned in the Braisa that there are three categories of fruits. There's Zesim Anavim, that's their own separate category. There's Shar Peros, and then there's Tutum Rimonim in the middle. So the Braisa had said, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Rabbanim by Zesim Va'anavim, that any juice that comes out is Aser. The Rabbanim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peros, and the whole Machlok is only Tutum Rimonim. So Gemara is going to try to figure out, how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Rabbanim by Zesim Va'anavim, and how do we know that the Rabbanim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peros? Do we have a source for this? So Rabbi Yehuda, Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda, demoted the Rabbanim, Zesim Vanavim. So we find that Rabbi Yehuda is moded to the Rabbanan when it comes to Zesim Vanavim. Rabbanan, the moded of Rabbi Yehuda, Bishar Peros Minalan. But how do we know that the Rabbanan are moded to Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shar Peros? That says the Gemara, Detanya, we have a Braisa. Sochtin, Bepagainu, Beprishin, Uba Uzradin, Avaloberi Monin. So we mentioned that there was this Beis Menashe Bar Menachem that would be sochet using rimonim. So says the Gemara, so that's how you see the Rabbanan or Moda that by Shar Peros that are not rimonim. That by Shar Peros that are not rimonim, we said you could be sochet in these different things, but not rimonim. But then we just mentioned that the point is that these are not, these are fruits not normally used for juicing, and therefore they're not usr. What comes out of them is not going to be usr. Even sochtin, you're allowed to be sochet them, because it's not a violation of dash. That's the assumption that we're talking about, that we're assuming right now, that it would not be a violation of dash. And then we just mentioned that the Beis Menashe Bar Menachem would be sochet barimonin. So, frankly, Gemara, umi maid rabbanan hi. Yeah, that proves that somebody holds that shar peros are not going to be a problem. How do you know that that's the Rabbanan, though? That's an anonymous Braisa. Dilma Rabbi Yehuda hi. Maybe it's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it doesn't give a problem with Shar Peros. So says Gemara, V'tahavi Nami Rabbi Yehuda, Emer d'shamilei l'Rabbi Yehuda yatzu me'atzman. Yeah, but even if it were Rabbi Yehuda, this is going one step further than we ever mentioned. We spoke about when juice comes out of fruits on its own. So what do you do with that juice? Is that juice mutter? Is that juice aser? Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda said, juice comes out of fruits, it's mutter. Sochtin l'chachila mishamitlei. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that sochtin l'chachila, that you're even allowed to be sochet such things, but, you know, on purpose to dafka go out of your way and be sochet these juices to squeeze these fruits? Elamayisach l'meimar. So what do you have to say? Given the love menei schita ninhu afil l'chachila, that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that even since things are not bnei schita, that everyone would hold that something that's not bnei schita, then even l'chachila you'd be allowed to be sochet. Meaning, even though the way we phrased the machlokas, was about juices that came out on their own. If juices that come out on their own are mutter because it's a fruit that's not normally juiced, so then you're allowed to squeeze the juice out of those fruits on Shabbos as well. Says Gemara, afilu teim rabbanon. Kiven delav bnei schita ninhu afilu lechadchila. So shma mina rabbanon hi shma mina. So we could say that it's even going like the rabbanon. Once the rabbanon say that it's lav bnei schita ninhu, so meila you're even going to be allowed to do it lechadchila. So, the Gemara wanted to know, how do we know the rabbanon agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to fruits, not olives and grapes, the juices that come from an amutter? So we have a brisa that allows juicing fruits that aren't normally juiced. So certainly you can drink juices that come out of fruits that are not normally juiced, that juices that come out on their own from fruits that are not normally juiced. So says the Gemara, but we mentioned in this price another thing. We said shall beis menashe bar menachem ha'yisochtin barimonim, that this beis menashe bar menachem used to be sochet barimonim. They used to squeeze pomegranates. So Amar Rav Nachman halacha kishal beis menashe bar menachem, that we in fact paskin like shall beis menashe bar menachem. So Amar Rav Nachman menashe bar menachem tanahu. What is he? Is that a shita? Meaning menashe bar menachem would just, it's a, some guy. It's not, it, tana means someone who teaches over halachos. Tana is not, it doesn't mean in the context that we talk about tanaim in terms of people who lived in a certain generation. No, we're just saying a tana means someone who taught over halachos that he got as a tradition from his rebbe. So he was able to teach over halachos bal peh. Menashe bar menachem wasn't teaching anything over here. They just happened to enjoy pomegranate juice in their house. That's it. So what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with halacha? You're going to paskin halacha to Menashe bar Menachem. If you were to tell that Menashe bar Menachem, that they were paskining halacha by drinking their pomegranate juice for breakfast, they would be the most surprised people on earth. They're not trying to paskin any halacha. I'll give a Purim connection now. It's like people always say there's a machlokas between the Manos Halevi and the Chumash Sedeshen. What the purpose of Mishloach Manos is? Do we give Mishloach Manos, like the Chumash Sedeshen says, to provide Tzar Chesuda? Or is it like the Shita of the Manos Halevi, that it's to be Marba Achva Vereus, it's to be to respond to Haman's Kitrug of Mufuzar Mufurud Ben Amim, that Klal Yisrael doesn't get along with each other? If anyone ever took 5 minutes to look at the Sefer Manos Halevi, you would know that if you were to tell the Manos Halevi, by the way, you're arguing on the Chumash Sedeshen and Halacha, he would be the most surprised person in the room. What do you mean I'm arguing that? I'm not writing Halachos, I'm writing a Medrash Manos Halevi, I'm writing Drashas on the Megillah. It's got absolutely nothing to do. Everyone who gives Shira Mishalach Manos, myself included, gives a share of the Manos Halevi versus Chumash Sedeshen, 15 nafkaminas between the Manos. There are no nafkaminas because they're not arguing. They're not arguing at all. One is discussing the geder of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and one is discussing the tam of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So Manos Halevi gives the tam of the mitzvah. What's the geder of the mitzvah? The geder of the mitzvah is something that's supposed to be able to provide someone with Tzar Chesuda. So Menashe bar Menachem, it's a bit of a stretch, but Menashe bar Menachem, Tanhu, that Menashe bar Bar Menachem, what, you think he's a Tana? He's teaching something here? He's not teaching anything? And if you're going to say no, what we mean to say is that the halacha is like the Tana that thinks that pomegranates are it's normal to juice pomegranates because Menashe bar Menachem juices pomegranates. As long as you find someone who does it, that makes it normal. What, just because someone thinks it's normal because Menashe bar Menachem does it, that means that Allah is like him? So it says Gemara, what, Menashe bar Menachem have a ruba di alma? Are they the majority of the world? One family decides that they like pomegranate juice and now it's a normal thing to do? Says Gemara, in Detnan. I could prove to you, says the Gemara, that having a single household doing something makes it normal. That makes it considered something that's normal. It's a fruit normally used for juicing, even though we just have this single household that does it. Where do we find such an idea? Detnan. Hamakayim kotzim bakerem. If someone keeps thorns, thistles, in a kerem. So is that a violation of kilei kerem? That he's mixing two different minim. He's mixing the vines together with the thorns. So Rabbi Elazar Amar Kodesh v'chamar meinu mekadesh. Rabbi Elazar says it's mekadesh. Mekadesh means it makes it aser. It makes a kilei kerem, that it's kidesh. And the Chum say eino mekadesh, that it does not make kilei kerem, does not make it aser. Elo davar shekamo mekayim, unless it's something that you would normally be mekayim in a kerem. Only something that's normal to be mekayim in a kerem would be a problem. Vam Rabbi Chanina, my time is Rabbi Elazar. So then why does Rabbi Eliezer, does Rabbi Elazar disagree with that geder, with that halacha, that only something that's normal to be mekayim in a kerem is going to pose a problem? Or does Rabbi Elazar agree with that halacha? He just thinks that it's normal to keep thorns and thistles in a kerem as well. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar think that it poses a problem of kilei kerem to have thorns and thistles? Shekein ba'aravya mekayim in kotzei sados ligmalehen. Because in Aravya they would keep thorns and thistles. They would dafka want it to grow in their fields for their camels, because apparently camels eat that stuff. So they would dafka keep it for their camels. So the fact that they do that in Arabia shows that it's normal, that it's something that people want, and mele it's going to be a problem of kilei kerem. So what? Midi iria. So bottom line is, what do you see? That because there's one place, there's one set of mishugadim that like to do this, that makes it normal. So Menashe bar Menachem, the fact that they like to juice pomegranates, that makes it normal. That makes juicing pomegranates considered to be a fruit that's normal to juice. Says Mar Midiri, how can you compare the two? The Aravya Asra, Hacha Batal Daito Etzel Kaladam. There's a big difference. Aravya is a whole place. So a whole city, a whole country does it. Over here we're talking about one family. When it's one family, that's considered Batal Daito Etzel Kaladam. That there were one person, Menashe Bar Menachem, Shalbeis Menashe Bar Menachem, his household, their das is Batal Etzel Das Kaladam. It doesn't make it normal. Ela Hainu Taima. So rather the Gemara says, second explanation as to why it is that the Gemara, that the Braisa mentions Menashe bar Menachem, is not to say that it's normal just because a single household does it. No, Hainu Taima. This is why we mention Menashe bar Menachem. Kidrav Chista, the Amar of Chista, Tardin Shasachtan, Venasim Bemikva, Pulsinas Amikva. If you have beets that were squeezed, that were juiced, and you put the beet juice into a mikvah, it passes the mikvah b'shinu imare. As long as you put enough to change the color of the mikvah, then it passes the mikvah. V'alav b'nei schita ninhu, but they're not b'nei schita. So why is that considered to be a mashke that would pass a mikvah? It's not a normal drink. Beet juice is not something people would normally drink. It's not something people normally do. Elamayisach lemeimer, what do you have to say? Kivan da'ach shevinu havalahu mashke. That once we are machshiv it by squeezing it, we show that we want it by squeezing it. That's what makes it a mashke. Hachanami kivan da'ach shevinu havalahu mashke. So over here also, since we want it, that makes it a mashke. Since we're machshiv it by squeezing it, that mele makes it a mashke. So the Gemara's explanation is that normally fruits that are not used for juicing can be squeezed on Shabbos, let's say for the purpose of sweetening the fruit or something like that, but not for juicing, because the intention is not to juice it. Pomegranates can't even be squeezed because we're concerned that a person will come to squeeze it for its juice. Why would we be concerned that a person will come to squeeze it for its juice? Because the Menashe bar Menachem used to squeeze pomegranates for their juices. So we see that sometimes people are machshiv this. People might be machshiv it. Rav Papa Amar, Mishum David Davar She'in Osin Mimenu Mikvah L'Chadchila. Rav Papa says, no, the reason that the beet juice is able to pass the mikvah is not because it's a chashav a mashke. It doesn't have to be a chashav a mashke to pass the mikvah. All it has to be is something that you don't make a mikvah out of, and you don't make a mikvah out of beet juice. But Kol Davar She'in Osin Mimenu Mikvah L'Chadchila, Posel is a mikvah, B'Shinei Mara. Anything that you wouldn't make a mikvah out of L'Chadchila can pass the mikvah, B'Shinei Mara. Period. Tanan Hasam. Nafal Tochel Yayin Ochometz. That if a wine or vinegar falls into a mikvah and it changes the look of the mikvah, it's pasul. Man tana de mochel mashkehu. Who's the one that holds that mochel is a mashke? Amar Abaye Rabbi Yaakov. That's the shita of Rabbi Yaakov. Detanya Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Yaakov holds mochel areu kemashke. Umatama amru mochel ayotzi b'tchila tahar l'fi she'enu rotzu b'kiyumo who's the one that says that? Why do they say that mochel yotze b'tchilas is tahar? Because l'fishen rotsu b'kiyumo, it's something that a person doesn't want to keep around. So mele, it's not going to be able to be makshar l'kabel tumah because it's not something that's l'ratzon. It's not something that a person wants to come out. Rabbi Shimon Omer mochel eno k'mashke, that mochel does not have a din of a mashke. Umatam amru mochel yotze me'ikul beis habad tamei. And why? So then, why would it ever be able to be makshar l'kabel tumah? I mean, the first little bit that comes out is not able to be makshar l'kabel tumah. So if you hold that it's not that it is a mashke, you have to explain why that first little bit is not makshar l'kabel tumah. If you hold that it is a that it's not a mashke, then you need to explain why beyond that first little bit is able to be makshar l'kabel tumah. So matam amru mochel yotze miyikol beis habad tamei l'fi she'ef shelo v'lo tzitzuch hashemen. Because that little bit of mochel, that little bit of clear liquid that comes out of the olive, it's impossible beyond the first drop that it's not going to have tzitzuch hashemen. It's not going to have a little bit of oil together with it. And since there's oil together with it, so mela, that becomes a mashka, and that's able to be makshar l'kabel tumah. My benai, what's the nafkamina between the two opinions? Meaning if either way, whether you hold it to mashka or whether you don't hold it to mashka, either way, the original drop is not going to be chash of mashka, and it's not going to be makshar l'kabel tumah. And after anything after that original drop is, so then what's the nafkamina between them anyway? Ike benai, da'asi basar itzatzta, that which comes out, basar itzatzta. What does that mean? After Rashi says, la'achash eskilu l'schamim, v'dachgu ze'ezev, v'nishta ha'komer yamim, that it's when it's packed tightly together, and a little bit seeps out, that's where it's going to be enough nafkamina between the two of them. So Rava Amar Mishum Davidavar Sheinos Nemen Mikvah Uposel Sa Mikvah Bishune Mare. Rava says that when we say Mochel Pasel Sa Mikvah, that's Divrei Akol. Everyone agrees Mochel Pasel a Mikvah because it has nothing to do with whether it's a Chashav a Mashka or not. The whole din of a Chashav a Mashka has nothing to do with the Hilchos Mikvos. Hilchos Mikvos to Pasel a Mikvah is like the other approach. Rava agrees with the idea that anything that's enos in mikveh lechatchila, enos in men mikveh lechatchila, anything you can't make a mikveh out of will pass a mikveh. So that's Rava's approach. So Rava says because it's a davar she'enos in men mikveh, and that's why it passes a mikveh b'shunei mara. That's why it will pass a mikveh by change if it changes the color of the mikveh. We'll stop there. I didn't prepare beyond that. Didn't even get there. So we'll stop there. Okay.